Father God, I truly believe, I believe this in everything that is in me and in my spirit man, that you want to do something fresh and new tonight. God, as I did my walk today and I began thinking about that throne room and the prayers of the saints, our prayers, what we're petitioning, what we are believing you for, what we are asking you for, what we are contending for. Father, it is an aroma. It is incense in the throne room right now. So, Father, right now, we in our flesh, in our humanity, in this physical body, we push through by choice of asking Holy Spirit to come and awaken our hearts and our minds right now, that we would see, we would learn, we would receive, and Father, we would by faith begin to see miracles in our life and around those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. How's everybody? I want to reiterate again, I know it's Thanksgiving. Many people have already taken off. Some of you told me you're leaving tomorrow. You know, Natalie is leaving for Aspen. What rough life, right? Some of you are leaving. I know it's always a few days before Thanksgiving, but I want to let you know, and seriously, please help me with this, guys. You will be receiving an email about this Black Friday. Pass it on. $29. When have you ever gone to a conference for $29? Buy 6, 7. Now, here's what I told our small group leaders. The beautiful thing is if you buy it now for $29 and you give it to someone right before the conference and they think you spent $89 on a ticket, you don't have to tell them you got it for $29. They're going to feel so valuable. They're going to say, this girlfriend loved me. So buy it now. You don't have to say you got it for $29. Buy a bunch of them and then hand them out in January for the conference. Amen. Plus you get a cute little stocking. Our staff did such a great little job on these today. So before you leave, go out and register and buy your tickets. Buy 6, 7, 8. Buy a few, but get your tickets tonight and then again on Black Friday. So I brought my prayer rock. This is my prayer rock. And I know I've told this story. Sorry, guys, I'm kind of moving all over you camera girls back there. I know that I've told you guys about how I have a war room in my home, and I love to pray, and I love to do prayer walks, and I have the prayer park I go to. But one day I was doing my prayer walk in my neighborhood, and I kept getting this vision of Jesus. Have you ever flipped through the Bible? You know, the old Bibles, and they had actually pictures, and you kind of see these pictures in your Bible. And Jesus was always kind of in the Garden of Gethsemane over this rock. And I'm not sure how biblical. It was a garden, and there was probably a rock in the garden. But we get this picture of Jesus, and every time I'd pray, I'd get this vision of him like hovering and praying and contending. And I'm doing my prayer walk and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I need a prayer rock. I need a boulder. Now, my prayer room is on the second floor of our home. So I'm thinking, how do I tell Phil I need a boulder in my prayer room? And so I'm out walking our loop, the little neighborhood loop I'm in, and I'm thinking, I want a prayer rock that I can just pray over and believe over. And as I'm walking, I see, you know how they have these ones that are over sprinkler systems and these landscape rocks? I'm like, that's it. That's my prayer rock. And so I finished praying. I went right down to Home Depot. And I got me a prayer rock. And I had Natalie write on a prayer rock. And on it, I have my little Riley and Crosby and Cruz and Kim and all my babies and all my kids and Influence Church and Influence Music and Story Club and Women of Influence and Ask, Seek, Knock, and Go Deeper. And I go in my room, and it's in the corner, and then on the wall, I have pictures of all my grandbabies, my husband, this church, Women of Influence, and it's my space. It's my space I go to. It's where I contend, where I believe God for things, where I literally see things that I'm believing God for. And I wanted you to see, sometimes we need visual pictures of things. Sometimes you need a place in your life that is your place to go. And what I want to talk to you about today, it's something that I'd never seen before when we talk about in the throne room. Now, if you're new tonight, we're in a series, probably you know it by now, called What's in the Throne Room. And I'm walking you through the elements through the book of the Revelation and various scriptures in the Bible, what the throne room looks like, so that when you are in that throne room with God and you are saying, holy, 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 and you're seeing the 24 elders and the crystal sea, and you're seeing that rainbow, and you're seeing Jesus on the throne, you'll understand it because you've had the knowledge of it. See, so many of us are double dumb. We're just not dumb, we're double dumb. That means we don't know the word of God. We don't know how to contend. We don't know how to believe. We don't know how to pray. And guys, it's up to us to do it. I can give you what God's given me. I can teach you and show you. And you know, what do we say around here? Smart people put themselves around smarter people. So I want to pour into you what I've learned, but you've got to learn. You got to go there. You got to pray. You got to read. You got to contend. It's where you got to go. So everything I'm giving you is what God's given me, but I want to encourage you to go there. I want to encourage you to get in the Word. I'm going to encourage you to read Revelation. I'm going to encourage you to take all the notes that I give you tonight and get alone and let Holy Spirit teach you firsthand. One of our small group leaders walked in, and we send our notes out the week before, and her pages were filled. I said, maybe you should teach tonight. And she said, this is what God gave me when I started studying this. Do you see that? He is a good God, and he's a faithful God, and he gives us insight, wisdom, and revelation. But you have to open the Bible. You have to pray. You have to learn. And that's what I want to begin to teach you tonight. So grab your notes. Now, as we've said, we know that in that throne room in the book of the Revelation, there is that heavenly scene in Revelation 1 where we see the throne, we see Jesus on the throne. We go ahead and we read in chapter 3, and we see in that throne room experience, we do see that beautiful rainbow, we see the 24 elders, we see the crystal sea, we see the Holy Spirit before the throne. So literally, this is what the throne room looks like. But when we move on to chapter 5 of Revelation, and it's such a beautiful psalm we just sang, it's a picture, and I'm going to read it to you in a minute. It says, the 24 elders are surrounding the throne, and they have a harp in one hand, and they have a bowl of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So we just sang about how the incense, and you're all going, what's this with the incense? It's what the Bible says is in the book of the Revelation. Those are the prayers of the saints. All the prayers that you have ever prayed, will ever pray, have been prayed on your behalf. Your grandmother prayed, your grandfather prayed, your mother prayed, your father prayed. All of the prayers of all of the saints are stored in these bowls. And the Bible says it's incense. It's like an aroma that goes up to the Father. So when we're singing that about incense, literally we were just praying all of the prayers that have ever been prayed are in this heavenly picture in the throne room. Open up your notes with me and let's look at a couple of these scriptures. In Revelation 5, verse 8, the Bible says, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures, along with the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp, and they were, a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. If you read it in the King James Version, it says the prayers of the saints. And I wanted you to see both translations because some people think, well, I'm not a saint, so those aren't my prayers. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are a saint. You are a saint by position, not by behavior. Are you hearing me now? So often I feel like I lose my salvation because of my actions. You didn't receive your salvation because of your actions. You received your salvation by grace. It's a gift. All through the book of, whether it's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all of those books, Paul refers to the church, the saints. So you are a saint by position in Jesus Christ. All right, so that's who you are. All of the prayers that you have ever prayed, they have been heard and they are stored in heaven. Here we go on and let's look at the next verse in Revelation 8, 3 and 4. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of God's people, the prayer of the saints, on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke and the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. Now, I want you to see this. Every prayer in your broken heart, in your disappointment, where are you, God? Everything you have ever prayed to God is stored in heaven. It is in heaven. He heard it. He sees it. He understands it. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to see something that maybe you haven't seen the parallel before. The book of the Revelation isn't written independently from the Bible. The book of the Revelation is an explanation of the Bible. So when we see the incense, we can go all the way back to the Old Testament when they had this service, this ceremony where they would go in the temple and they would light the incense, and it was always a picture that God was in their midst. The smoke was a picture. The priest would go in, they would light the incense, all the people would pray, and they knew that it was a holy experience. They were reaching out to God. They were expecting God to move. They were expecting God to work. Well, we move from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And in the book of Luke, chapter 1, we read a story that most of us don't see. Now, stay with me and listen, because you read through chapter 1 so fast trying to get to chapter 2, which is the birth of Jesus. All right? But you missed chapter 1, and there's so much good stuff in Luke chapter 1. I know many of us will be reading chapter 2 in a few weeks when we prepare for Christmas, but you're going to say to everybody, let me show you something I saw. And you're going to take them back to chapter 1, and you're going to show them about the prayers of the saints. Let me paraphrase the story. You have it in your notes. In Luke 1, we have a man named Zechariah and his wife named Elizabeth. Elizabeth had a desire to have children like almost every woman does. But for some reason, God had not opened her womb. She was old in age. She had not bore any children, and she pretty much had given up. I'm thinking she's probably about 80 years old. She's figuring that thing wasn't for me. Zechariah is a priest. So he goes to do his priestly duty. He goes to the temple. And in those days, what they would do, the priests would be chosen by lots. They would actually cast lots because they believed that God was sovereign and he would choose who he wanted. So it wasn't like, you know, who was in with who that week. God would choose who he wanted to go in. So they cast the lot, and the lot fell upon Zechariah. Zechariah is old. Zechariah, I want you to get that. He's old. What's getting ready to happen shouldn't happen. He goes, now that we're going to read this, it's so good. He goes into the temple. He lights the incense, the altar of the incense. As he lights the incense, he could hear all the prayers. It tells us this in Luke 1. All the prayers of the saints in the courtyard. They're praying. They're all praying because the priest went in to offer a sacrifice for them. He lit the incense. And when he did, guess what? Gabriel, the angel, showed up. Gabriel comes and he looks and he says, Zechariah, from the moment you prayed, your prayer was heard. Your wife, Zechariah, your wife, Elizabeth, will conceive. She will give birth to a child. The Bible says, Zechariah goes, how can this be? Have you checked her out lately? Have you taken a look at the woman? There ain't a whole lot of activity going on in the bedroom, if you get my drift. All right, come on, it's just ladies in here. Yeah. I want to make this so practical because what happens is in our prayer life, some of us have died. Our prayers have died, and there ain't a whole lot of activity in the throne room because the seed is dead. You believed him at one time, but you got old. You got tired of asking. You started justifying, it's not for me. It's for everybody else. It's not for me. And Gabriel looks and says, listen to me, buddy. Oh, she will conceive. Now, this is so good. And she will give birth to a son. And his name will be John. And he will be the forerunner of the Messiah. All this was prophesied in the Old Testament. He will be the forerunner of the one that will come. He will be a Nazarite, and no wine will touch his lips, and he will not cut his hair, and he will be the answer to people's prayers. He will set the captives free. Now, let me ask you, if God said to you, it ain't your time yet, but when it's your time, girlfriend, you are gonna have a exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that you could ask or think kind of answer. And when I read this, I thought, I'm praying and I'm going, God, how many prayers have I given up on? Because my seed is dead. The seed that I'd sown of a child that was wayward, or a relationship, or a marriage, or finances, or any kind of faith, or health, or my list goes on. And I just got weary. I just thought, it's not for me. It was for them. I want you to look with me at a couple of these things because I think they're so, so good. Matter of fact, I want to read one more passage because I skipped this one and it's so good. It's the one in Psalm 141, 2 in your notes. It says, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Do you realize these things that we do aren't just rituals? It should not be a routine. It should be a spiritual practice that you have. There's times, and I know, like sometimes I think, I get crazy. I need to get over in the dark where nobody sees me because I've so pressed in for the last year or two of my life when I'm worshiping. I see myself there. This throne room has become so visual to me. I see those incense. When I was here singing that right here, when I was singing that, I thought all of your prayers that all of you have been praying for all of the years for our country, we're praying. Our country needs it. for our children, for our marriages, all of those. And I'm seeing that incense. Every one of you ladies in here praying, I'm watching that incense go up. I will never light incense again and be the same. I just can't, because it's a visual picture of that smoke. The Bible tells us there's all that smoke in the throne room because that's the prayers of the saints. You've got to see it. You've got to visualize it. You've got to believe it. You've got to expect it. And I want you to see that picture, because that's what's in the throne room. You can begin to see it, this passage in Lucas. I think it's so good. I want to share a couple verses. In 9, it says, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So he was chosen to go right then at that very time to move in and have the supernatural experience. And look what it says in verse 10. All of the assembling worshipers were praying outside. This is such a picture of revelation. I mean, you know, it's amazing to me. I just believe that we're going to get to heaven one day and we're going to go, wow, now it makes sense. You don't have to wait till you get there. If you'll take the time to study, to dissect it, to tear it apart, to listen, God will show you this insight and wisdom through these pictures. And then he goes on in verse 11, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Girlfriend, your prayer has been heard. Believe that your prayer has been heard. I want you to go, you can read the whole thing. Well, I just can't. It's too good not to read it all. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink. He will be filled, look at this. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. The moment he was born, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this was before Pentecost. So this was before Acts 2, when the filling of the Holy Spirit came. You weren't filled with the Holy Spirit as a New Testament believer until after Jesus died. And Acts, so there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It's called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So that's what Acts is about, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit came and filled us. But John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was born. God had a destiny for him. God had a purpose for him. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in spirit and in power like Elijah. Matter of fact, if you remember how when John the Baptist was killed and they said he had the spirit of Elijah, there was something on him. There was something on him. There was something on him. Holy Spirit. And guys, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and there's something on you, people see it. People see it in you. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God and people not see it. There is a joy that flows out of you. You cannot suppress that in you. Holy Spirit is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And he goes on, he says, he will have the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient of wisdom and righteousness to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, he's getting everybody prepared for Jesus.